Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, the preseason is upon us here. Packers and Eagles at Lambeau Field Thursday night, 7 p.m., the preseason opener for both teams. And I guess we just start off by saying, to spoil it maybe for some people, but it doesn't sound like Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing in this one. He's been running the scout team in practice, and so this becomes a showcase for some of the Packers' younger quarterbacks.
Yeah, and it was a showcase for a lot of the young receivers in practice this past week with Rodgers running that scout team. That's something he's done the last few years as the Packers have kind of, you know, tapered him a little bit, been mindful of his rep counts during training camp, but he was really active. So again, that would tell you with him taking all those reps, that'll probably be the Brett Hundley show, at least to start off with on Thursday night. Jordy Nelson talking at his locker as well on Tuesday, mentioning that he isn't sure how it's going to shuffle out. He didn't think he was probably going to play. My guess is they'll probably see a lot of these younger guys getting in based on what the track record has been for the Packers in the past. But that being said, for Brett Hundley, this is a big preseason for him. Last year, it's well documented what happened with his ankle injury, kind of robbed him of that opportunity. I think it ended up being only, was it 20 passes or 20 snaps he ended up playing in that preseason?
Yeah, it was pretty limited.
Just wasn't able to get really the work you want to get for a second-year player, especially coming off of how well he performed in 2015. So he'll get a chance to reset. You got Joe Callahan in that mix. Taysom Hill potentially being able to get some work, the number four quarterback. So all those guys will be on display. And also, no matter what happens with Nelson, Cobb, and Adams, whether they play or they don't, they won't be playing a lot, even if they do. So you got these other nine guys on this depth chart at receiver. It's going to be a big opportunity for them to show up as well. And you know, there's been a lot of positives to be drawn from these receivers in practice, but the preseason game is where the coaches and scouts really want to see it.
Yeah, exactly. That's where it gets put on film, and you're going up against somebody else who doesn't necessarily know what route you're running, doesn't necessarily know the other team's schemes inside and out, the way those training camp practices can get tilted that way sometimes. But you mentioned Hundley. I don't know if I've ever talked to a guy who was maybe more fired up for a preseason game. He was so disappointed with how everything last year went down, not only with the Hall of Fame game getting canceled, which he knew he was going to be the starter for that game. Then when he does get into the preseason action, he ends up hurting his ankle and really ends up not taking anywhere near the snaps throughout the month of August that he thought he was going to get. Now, he did have some fourth quarter mop-up duty, I guess you'd call it, against Tennessee and Atlanta last season. But really, he feels like it's been almost 2 years since he really got into action, where he's going into a game saying, okay, I'm going to have at least a couple of quarters here. I'm going to have three, four, five series in a row to try to get my feet under me, find a rhythm, get this offense moving the ball, get to, you know, read this defense on a series of plays. As you said, this is big for Brett Hundley, and he's fired up.
Yeah, the last preseason was really interesting because it kind of had like this regular season mindset with Hundley. Usually if a guy ends up tweaking a hamstring or there's some kind of muscle strain or just, again, like an ankle issue like Hundley had, they're resting him, they're getting him ready for the regular season. Well, Hundley said in the past, this is his regular season. This is his opportunity to show what he can do, because if everything goes how it's supposed to go, he won't be needed come the regular season.
Right.
He's going to be holding that clipboard. He's going to be serving as that backup quarterback. Well, last year, it created this weird narrative, it seemed like, even in the coverage of the team, where it was like, okay, is Brett Hundley going to go? Are the Packers going to push him out there? Does he want to get out there? And, you know, it was just, I've never seen a dynamic like it before, because in most cases, you're resting those guys. So, needless to say, Hundley's healthy, he's ready to go, and he's fired up. And I'm, again, he had a phenomenal two-minute series, all things considered, on family night. As you pointed out, I think that was to Alex Van Pelter, one of the guys, one of the coaches. The fact is that he didn't have all of the tools to work with. He's working with a lot of young guys.
Yeah.
There was a drop pass on that series, but yet he still rallied everybody, got in the end zone with that touchdown pass to Aaron Peck. Really showed a lot of maturity, and even though he is only a third-year quarterback, when you get into some of those two-minute situations with, you know, second, third, and fourth stringers, he's the Aaron Rodgers out there, and I think he understands that.
Yeah, I think from a skill standpoint, and I'm no expert on quarterbacks, believe me, but from what I've witnessed in practice, there are two areas where I've seen Brett Hundley, to me, take a huge leap over where he was last year. One is with the back shoulder throws along the sideline. The timing, the zip on those balls, the confidence with which he's throwing them. And that goes along with the communication with the receivers as well. I get that. But he looks completely different in a very good way in terms of how those back shoulder throws. And then also when he's rolling to his left and trying to make those throws, that's the toughest throw really for a right-handed quarterback to make, to be rolling to his left and have to throw a little bit across his body or at an awkward angle. His throws rolling to his left have been accurate. And we've heard from Alex Van Pelt, the footwork is much better, everything with the timing of his game. So it all comes together. You mentioned the receivers as well, and 9 guys on the roster behind the big three. I would anticipate we would see all of them, with the exception maybe of Colby Pearson from BYU, who injured his ankle on family night. But we've seen all these guys have their moments in practice. Trevor Davis, Jeff Janis, Michael Clark, the big 6'6 guy from Marshall, you know, jumping over top of receivers, making catches. We've seen Malachi Dupree, D'Angelo Yancey have their moments. Monte Crockett, a guy who is rather unknown, but he gets in there and, you know, can be a shifty receiver in the slot and whatnot. But now it's all a little bit more for real. I don't want to say for real, but it's a little bit more for real now in the preseason as opposed to practice.
Yeah, and I talked to Yancey about that this past week, and what impressed him the most was he had the chance to play in front of 60,000 people on family night. Now it gives you that hunger, it gives you that fire a little bit to want to go out there and do it in a regular season. Not a regular season, but in a game setting to prepare you for that. He's made a lot of changes in his diet. He looks a lot better as a receiver. And like him, Dupree and the rest of these guys, really looking to show up on Thursday night.
Yeah, no question about it. With that, Wes, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. And Wes, I want to shift gears for a minute as we talk about the preseason. But going back to kind of the daily ritual of training camp, and one of the great traditions here in Green Bay are the kids who give their bikes to the players as they make that trek from the locker room, from the players' parking lot, across Oneida Street to Ray Nitschke Field. And you encountered quite a story here between center Corey Linsley and I guess what you call his bike kid. Now, just to clarify for fans, different players take different approaches.
Yeah.
Some players, they just go out and take a bike. It can be a different kid every day, to and from practice, doesn't matter. Other players kind of stick with the same kid as much as possible along the way. And but this story that you uncovered, which is now on Packers.com, it's quite an interesting relationship here now between Corey Linsley and his bike kid.
One of the things I think is one of the most special sort of relationships between the Packers and their fans, obviously, is the bikes. But you get these small, you know, kind of isolated events where you get guys that not only stay with a kid, but stay with them for almost their entire careers, depending on how long they choose to ride the bikes for. I did stories like this in the past on Casey Hayward. Last year I did on Jared Aberderis and his bike girl.
Right.
But Linsley and Colbeck are a lot different. And the biggest thing that stands out to me is just how they met. And it actually goes back to 2014. I did a story on them when Travis's mom, Alicia, was dealing with some personal things. You know, basically it came down to an undiagnosed you know, kind of condition with high blood pressure.
Okay.
Was dealing with these chronic headaches. They finally hospitalized her. This was right at the same time that Linsley was getting to know Travis, who was only 10 years old at the time, and how confusing that can be for a kid, how impactful, you know, that can be. And not only did they end up becoming friends, and Linsley ended up buying him a bike that they rode together that first year, everything sort of snowballed from there. I mean, we're talking about his family getting to know Travis's family. I mean, text message between them, calls between them, tailgates, pickup games in the front yard. I mean, I knew their story a little bit when I got into it, but seeing just what that's developed into now with Linsley in year four, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and one of my favorite parts of the story, actually, you pointed out, was at the end of Linsley's rookie season. The Packers are in the NFC Championship game in Seattle. As we all know, a devastating loss for the Packers, for the players, for their fans, everything. And Corey finds out that Travis is just having a really hard time as a young, devoted fan dealing with the disappointment of this loss. And before the team even flies back from Seattle, he gets on the phone to talk to Travis and just console him a little bit when really you'd think it'd be Corey Linsley that would need the consolation, because this is the guy who just came within a heartbeat of going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and Corey's future wife, Anna, was the one that texted him, his girlfriend at the time, saying, you know, she'd been texting with Travis's mom throughout the game, and at the end of it was asking how he's doing and obviously having a difficult time. The thing that stands out to Corey more than that, though, was the fact that Travis had been sending him some texts throughout the day. Early in the morning, he texted him his well wishes, didn't get a chance to respond. After the game, you know, texted him that he was sorry about that. So he wanted to call him, and he didn't see it as, okay, I'm going to call my bike kid and, you know, console him. That was the same kind of phone call he would have made to, you know, Anna. He would have made that to his parents, his brother. I mean, he's just another part of his family in his mind. So it wasn't anything too out of the ordinary, even though it might sound, you know, quite surprising on the outside. But that's just the relationship they have. When Travis, you know, played his first season of football, you know, he's out there. He got to one of his games. I mean, again, like I mentioned, the relationship they have. I mean, Corey's parents would park at their house on Morris Avenue over here, Morris Street, I forget which one it is.
And that was kind of funny, because you mentioned in the story that all started, a lot of the sort of extended people getting connected. It was almost like a misunderstanding the way it got started with the parking situation.
Corey didn't realize that, like, your friends and family can park at Lambeau if they come to the game. Like, we kind of get that too. I mean, we get parking passes for family members if they're coming.
Right.
Corey didn't know that. So the Colbacks actually lived a couple blocks within Lambeau Field. So, you know, whether it was his grandparents, his parents, Anna, they would all park over at their house, walk in. And it actually ended up providing a nice little oasis in a way, because not only did they have a place to park, but they kind of had a place to hang out a little bit. I mean, they tailgated together at times. So as Corey said, they weren't just kind of wandering aimlessly around the stadium. They had some people to share with. And the other thing is, too, that stood out to Corey, because, again, it sounds great and how he kind of took this kid under his wing, but he looks at it more as them sort of taking him under their wing, because he gets here in 2014. He's a fifth-round pick, doesn't have any family here. His girlfriend wasn't here at the time. He ate Thanksgiving dinner with them in 2014. I mean, he really, in a lot of ways, sort of was adopted into their family. And his biggest thing and the biggest takeaway I had was his final quote saying that, I think that we were kind of brought together for a reason. And for him to be able to go down to practice with Travis on every day, that's his escape. I mean, with all the hustle and bustle of training camp and preparing for an upcoming season, everything gets dumbed down a little bit. Everything's a little more simple when he's dealing with Travis, because the conversation isn't about, you know, how he's playing or how he's feeling. It's just about how he's doing as a human being, and I think that's something Corey really appreciates.
Yeah, and I think another thing you pointed out in the story, too, just for fans, if they're coming and they're going to witness this, if you see a kid about 2 hours before practice is going to start, it might even be 6 in the morning for an 8 a.m. practice, and he's wearing either an Ohio State T-shirt or a 63 jersey, that's Travis Colbeck waiting to give that bike ride to Corey Linsley.
Yeah, and Linsley said, too, that actually stems from a couple years ago. There was one time where Travis missed him. And Travis to this day claims that Corey didn't see him, but Corey's contention is he was just running late that day. So when he was coming back up, Travis made sure to point it out, and ever since then, he's made sure that he's right in the place he needs to be, so Corey finds him, and they get down to practice, and everything's okay.
Yeah, sounds like they've worked it all out. Well, with that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, you and I get asked the question a lot in our insider inbox, standing on the sidelines at practice when some of the fans and guests and whatnot are there. So who's an unknown guy, a not a household name, who maybe has a chance to surprise everybody and make the roster? Now, there are a lot of candidates on this Packers squad, but one who stood out to me, and I know he stood out to you as well, is a young defensive lineman, Brian Price.
Yeah.
Second-year player, technically a first-year player because of his service time last year, but in his second year here in the NFL from Texas San Antonio, was undrafted a year ago, spent time both on the practice squad and on the active rosters. Active roster stint was only a couple of weeks. But we've seen through this first week and a half of training camp, he's pretty disruptive as a run defender in those run game drills. He's shown some pass rush in the one-on-one pass rush pass blocking drill. Now, the preseason games are starting. It's got to carry over to the preseason games. He needs to put it on film against, you know, another legitimate opponent. But this is a young defensive lineman, I think, who's making a legitimate push here for a roster spot.
Yeah, and Mike, you did a really good job on Packers.com of kind of surmising his story here during this first year in Green Bay. And it's not lost on him that he was on the active roster last year. And he had, you know, a couple weeks and a couple games with the Packers last season. What it was like being in that locker room, I think.
Yeah,
it
you
was,
switch from the main locker room to the auxiliary locker room when you're on the roster versus the practice squad, all that stuff.
And I think it was Ricky Jean-Francois that actually mentioned that to him, you know, that, you know, you got to do what you got to do to get in here.
Get out here, yeah.
And I think this is a young guy that's checked all the boxes so far. He was one of their top undrafted free agents a year ago. This is a guy I think the Packers, they knew could potentially be a player for them, but he was kind of in a numbers crunch, and there really wasn't a spot open there with those defensive linemen trying to crack what had developed into a pretty deep group. Well, he learned from it. He came back this year, sort of re-established himself. The thing that stands out to me the most with him as a football player is just his brute strength.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see that. You can see why he was probably just an absolute terror for people to deal with at San Antonio.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he understands the game's bigger than that, and there's stuff that he has to do to refine his skill set. But he has a lot of great people to work with when you look at, you know, Jean-Francois here now, you know, Mike Daniels, a really good basis of being able to try to take that next step.
Yeah, he talked to me about getting kind of different modes of advice, I guess you'd say, from guys like Jean-Francois and Daniels. Jean-Francois has been talking to him about kind of the mental side of the game, you know, slow things down, don't try to be so perfect all the time. Mike Daniels is like, hey, just cut it loose, go make a play, go, right, you know, bull rush somebody, do whatever it takes. So he's trying to kind of find that right balance between two veterans who have gotten the job done in the NFL in their own ways, trying to find that right balance for what it's going to take to make this roster. But yeah, getting a taste of being on the active roster for a couple weeks last year, played in week three against the Detroit Lions, then pretty much spent the rest of the season on the practice squad, listed at 6'3", 318 pounds. Now, going into the season, going into training camp, we knew that there would be a spot on the defensive line available for at least a month with LaTroy Guyon being suspended for the first four games. Now LaTroy Guyon's been released, so that roster spot is available, you know, purely, openly available, and that could make a difference here as we go through this process.
It really could, and you and I have talked about in the past, too. I mean, the Packers are going to be leaning on those defensive linemen more this year, particularly in those nickel and dime personnel groupings with the opportunity there. Dean Lowry's a guy that's really seized that. But Brian Price, I think he has a lot of those same kind of quick twitch attributes. I know Mike Turkovac likes to see guys that could potentially be able to defend the run, but also offer you something in terms of an interior pass rush. The big thing is, as I mentioned earlier, when you look at him, there's just so many raw tools to work with, and I think that's what excites the Packers. And for Price, now that we get into these preseason games, trying to show them, okay, this is what I have, now this is what I'm doing with it, and being able to prove that he's taken that step in year two.
Yeah, and a big opportunity as well for Christian Ringo, Isaiah Lunsford, these young guys that you see spending some time after practice working with the veterans, trying to take their game another step. But with that, we're going to throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. Wes, before we go, another quick look here at the preseason game coming up Thursday night against the Eagles. A lot of position groups to keep an eye on. Packers have young outside linebackers. They want to see what they have there. But also on defense at the cornerback position, Devon House probably not going to play. He's missed some time in practice this past week with a hamstring injury. A lot of reps out there for these young cornerbacks who are trying to put a rough year behind them, let's be honest, from 2016. Demarius Randall, Quentin Rollins, Ladarius Gunter. You've added Kevin King, the rookie second-round pick, to the mix. They're going to get – all these guys are going to get their share of snaps come Thursday night against Philadelphia, and the pecking order here needs to start getting established.
Yeah, I want to throw in Josh Hawkins' name, too, into that group. Good point. Guy coming back from last year, arguably one of the fastest guys on this team.
Absolutely.
An undrafted guy from last year to keep an eye on that was on the roster all season. But getting to the point that you made, Randall and Rollins, I think this is a really important preseason for them. Not necessarily to prove anything, but in terms of just being able to get their feet back under them, I think they've made a lot of positive strides in practice. You've seen, you know, Randall working that star slot position. You've seen Rollins work both of those spots, outside and inside, and has been pretty solid there. Joe Witt even mentioned last week when they knew that House wasn't going to be practicing, he asked Rollins where he wanted to play. Did he want to be inside or outside in that particular practice? So those two guys dealt with so many different things last year. When you look at those core muscle injuries, that is such a debilitating thing for, you know, being able to flip your hips and, you know, explode. It's really something that can really take away that extra burst for a cornerback.
No question.
They're not feeling those restrictions this year. They're feeling more like themselves. I think that's shown up in practice. Now the key is when you start getting some live receivers going against you, depending on how much they play, being able to show that they can take what they've done so far in training camp and translate that to a game.
Yeah, and another thing I know that everybody will be watching for in this first preseason game is the field goal operation. Yeah. With the rough night on family night with the rookie snapper Derek Hart, the rookie holder Justin Vogel, and obviously veteran kicker Mason Crosby. Things didn't go very well on family night. They're trying to iron things out. Things went pretty well in practice on trying to remember
Tuesday.
The day now. What day?
Tuesday,
okay. But there was one bad snap in that mix. So it's time to put this whole field goal operation, make it a blip on the radar. Let's not make this a story for the rest of the preseason. Get this thing ironed out and smoothed out for your veteran kicker.
Big thing is for Mason Crosby, 32 years old now. He has experience. He's been through the highs and lows, and he's always found his way out of it. Not that it has anything to do with him, but I mean, it's something where I think he mentally is going to be able to overcome that.
Yeah, I believe that as well. So with that, we're going to sign off on Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, on Twitter. He's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.